Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. For a couple of weeks now, we've been taking a look at President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet nominees and what those picks might mean for Massachusetts. So today, let's talk about the Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD. Yesterday, Trump tapped retired neurosurgeon Dr. Ben Carson to head up HUD. Carson has no experience in government, and if confirmed by the Senate, he'd run an agency with a budget of almost $50 billion and more than 8,000 employees. Here's Dr. Carson a couple of weeks ago on Fox News talking about the possible HUD appointment and what might guide his thinking at the agency.
Our inner cities are in terrible shape, and they definitely need some real attention. You know, there have been so many promises made over the last several decades, and nothing has been done. So it certainly is something that has been a long-term interest of mine.
Well, joining us now in the studio is Greg Bialecki. He's former Massachusetts Secretary of Housing and Economic Development. He served in that post under Governor Deval Patrick. He's now a principal at Redgate, a real estate development and investment firm. Greg Bialecki, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Hi, Magna. How are you?
I'm doing great. So we've been asking all the former state-level secretaries who we've been talking to this week and last an initial question, and that is, how important is it for the person who occupies your position at the state, how important is it who's the head of HUD at the federal level? How much does that matter?
For us, it matters a lot because it's just very simple, starting with the money, that of all the work that we try to do in Massachusetts, affordable housing and community development. The state has been pretty generous. We spend a lot on affordable housing here in Massachusetts compared to other states. Some of our cities, like Boston, also spend a lot of money. But realistically, almost everything we do, we match those resources with resources from the federal government. So if you looked around the city or the state at public housing, at affordable housing, home heating oil assistance for people in trouble, it's very difficult to imagine being able to do the things we do without federal help.
Okay, so I want to dig into that more in just a second. But given that important relationship you just described, what's your reaction to Ben Carson being the nominee to head HUD?
Well, I do have some concerns about it. We don't know exactly what Mr. Carson will do. He doesn't have a lot of experience with housing, and he hasn't talked a lot about it. But I think we do know that he's very unlikely to be an aggressive advocate for federal spending on affordable housing. He hasn't shown any signs that he believes in the mission of HUD as it currently exists. In fact, we think by his comments that you just played that maybe he's feeling like the money has not been well spent and is not really helping the people are in need. And on the ground in Massachusetts, I think we've seen the opposite, that we, you know, as I go around the state, I could take people to dozens of downtowns, particularly of our gateway cities that we've talked about a lot, our older manufacturing cities that have where investments have been made that have been very, very important to them.
So tell me more about that, because, I mean, I think in terms of the dollars spent by HUD at the state level, many people might be familiar with Section 8 housing. But you were
right,
saying a little bit earlier that HUD is essential to the construction of new affordable housing?
Absolutely. So I think almost any project that you see around Boston or around Massachusetts, even you'll often find perhaps Mayor Walsh or Governor Baker, or before that Governor Patrick, at the groundbreaking or the ribbon cutting, talking about a local or state investment. But in almost all those cases, there's been a quiet federal matching investment. The federal low-income housing tax credit is a very important program. Federal assistance for public housing has been very important. A variety of programs and acronyms over the years, HOPE 6, Choice Neighborhoods. But it's quiet money perhaps to most people, but it's hundreds of millions of dollars. I would say even approaching $1 billion a year if you add up all the various HUD programs.
For Massachusetts?
For Massachusetts alone.
So would those new developments of affordable housing be able to be built if that money is reduced or eliminated?
It would be very hard to do that because as it is, almost none of those resources is generous enough or large enough to make a development possible on its own. So you have to cobble together. Often affordable housing or public housing projects would rely on could be 6 or 8 or 10 different funding sources to make it up. So I don't think that there's much reason to think that these federal programs would go away wholesale. But for example, if they were kept frozen or reduced, that could make a very important difference. And as I say, we don't know what Mr. Carson's going to do, but it would hard to imagine that he's going to be an advocate for more HUD spending, at least of the type we've seen. There may be a move. We've seen in other areas towards a privatization. President-elect has talked a little bit about the privatization of infrastructure spending. So there are ways in which we could imagine that a Secretary Carson could talk about less spending by the federal government and more privatizing, or perhaps making more money available to cities and states on a block grant basis. Hmm. And, you know, in theory, those ideas have a lot of supporters, but they just haven't has as much proven success of having an active federal government role.
Hmm. Interesting. I mean, I have to be perfectly honest. I didn't realize how important that sort of key, I don't know, gap funding or whatever you might want to call it, comes from HUD is for most affordable housing construction in Massachusetts.
Well, and especially in Massachusetts, because as you know, we have very expensive housing. You know, the examples people always give, Massachusetts, New York, California, the high-cost housing states. And so that means, and that translates not just in how much it costs to rent or to buy, but it means because we have high land prices and high construction costs, it means that even building a unit that's going to be rented for an affordable number, it's much more expensive to build that unit than it can be, for example, in Indiana or Nebraska. And so it requires more subsidy. So I think everyone who is involved with production of affordable housing in Massachusetts is concerned right now.
Yeah. Well, let's hear a little bit more of some of the things that Dr. Carson has said about government's role when it comes to housing and affordability and, you know, what role government should play to support people who need housing assistance. Here he is speaking last year. This is February 2015. He was still in the race as a presidential candidate at the time, and he was speaking at the Conservative Political Action Conference.
It really is not compassionate to pat people on the head and say, there, there, you poor little thing, I'm going to take care of all your needs, your health care and your food and your housing. Don't you worry about anything, because it's all those bad people who's causing your problem, and I'm going to fix it. That's not compassion. That's the opposite of compassion. That is making people dependent.
So when you hear that, how do you think that might translate into leading the Department of Housing and Urban Development? I mean, could HUD ostensibly change the rules by which people qualify for housing assistance?
That's possible. I think in general, what worries me is that if you feel, as you heard in that clip or the earlier clip about how you know, the inner cities are hurting and we haven't done much to help them, it makes me concerned that he may feel that these programs are easy ones to cut or reduce and that they haven't done much good. So if we cut them back, there really isn't going to be much of a loss. And but I do think also in addition to his managing some very important programs and the money, he's also has a bit of a bully pulpit, right, as mm-hmm. a cabinet secretary for President Trump. And I think if he conveys this kind of message that it's not appropriate to be providing support for people, it creates dependency, maybe it's not a compassionate and appropriate way to deal with them. That's also a message that I would find very troubling. We found, if you look at, especially in a high housing cost state like Massachusetts, most of the people and the families that we are helping through public housing and affordable housing, these are hardworking people. If you work one or two jobs at a minimum wage in Massachusetts, you can't afford an apartment at a market rate in Boston or Cambridge or Somerville. So we are not creating most of the housing. And if you spend some time talking to the people or families in the affordable housing that we're creating in Massachusetts, we're not creating a dependency. We're helping hardworking people.
Well, so on that, I mean, let me just read to you a quotation that comes from an op-ed that Ben Carson wrote about fair housing laws that were signed into law by President Obama. He wrote this op-ed in the Washington Times in July of last year, July 2015. He basically said, quote, there are reasonable ways to use housing policy to enhance the opportunities available to lower-income citizens. But based on the history of failed socialist experiments in this country, entrusting the government to get it right can prove downright dangerous.
Yeah, so what I worry about when I hear that is that there are a variety of laws and protections, the Fair Housing Act, access for Americans with disabilities. There's a lot of federal rules about housing, which are actually very important to make sure that everybody has access. And I think he has talked in other contexts about not seeing those rules as being very important and, in fact, interfering with the way local governments or local communities would like things run. I don't think that's such a big Massachusetts problem because we have very strong anti-discrimination laws here. We've had a series of attorney generals, including Maura Healey, who have been very strong about that. So I think that we have our own protections to help make sure that there's equal access for everyone in Massachusetts. But in other states, really, the people who are left out of housing and are discriminated against, their only recourse has been to the federal government for help. And that may not be here as much.
So final question that we've been asking all the folks in this informal series that we've been doing. If you were back in your old post now and you were Massachusetts Secretary of Housing and Economic Development, what would be your question or what would you be thinking about vis-a-vis the state's future relationship with HUD at the federal level?
So because of what I mentioned before about the money being so intertwined, the first question is just a very pragmatic one, which is at any given time, there's a dozen or scores of housing development projects either under construction around the state or in the pipeline. And a lot of those use some state funds, but also some federal funds. So frankly, if it were me, the first thing I'd be worried about just very pragmatically, how are we going to finish these projects or keep the pipeline going if those federal funds are at risk? And how do we make sure that we can protect ourselves in that way? There's some longer term questions about whether how housing policy will be run during a Donald Trump administration. But the first question is a very pragmatic one. How are we going to get through and complete the things we've started?
Well, Greg Bialecki is the former Massachusetts Secretary of Housing and Economic Development. He served in that post during the administration of Governor Deval Patrick. He's currently principal at Redgate, a real estate development and investment firm. Greg Bialecki, it's great to see you again. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Magna.
We'll be back. I'm Magna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.